And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to another edition of your favourite LGBT plus magazine show.
Shout out on mic number two. I'm Steffi Barnett. On mic one, tis Andy Shilton.
On this week's show,
Trans Pride.
Steph visits Trans Pride Southwest and has a chat with some of the people that she finds down there.
Also news, views and Sasky.
All come in right up today here on Shout Out. We haven't done that in so long, have we?
No, it's good fun.
We got rid of the calf. We got rid of the calf.
The calf?
Yeah, the queer as folk.
Oh, well, no, we're just in a different studio.
Okay.
And I didn't have it on the PC. I've just like... Yeah.
Okay, I fear as though I've gone deaf.
This is our kind
now.
Of like official... Well, yeah, sorry, you have my headphones on. I am deaf. So.
You are, but now they're too low and I can't hear anything.
Oh, right. Okay, what about now?
That's that? Perfect.
Is that perfect?
Yes. Fiddling with those knobs again.
Yeah.
So. He is. And now, he loves that so much, Andy.
Now, we ought to explain, because we are currently recording in my kitchen with a Christmas tree in the background.
Kitchen
with,
studios.
With all kinds of things. We just done a live broadcast, courtesy of Matthew. Thank you very much, mate. It was
pleasure.
It was really nice. I didn't have to do anything.
Yes, but now we get like into that. The DeLorean and we go back in time.
And the reason we're going back in time is because last week...
Which is now this week.
Yeah, that's really confusing. We had two power cuts in the studio. And it threw us off air, and it meant that also everything that normally does the recording for us couldn't record. So we broadcast what we could live, and we're now re-recording that show in a shortened version, especially for you podcast listeners.
See, if we'd have thought about it, we could have just plugged into hands.
Well, what would have happened then? No, don't answer that.
I was going to say, we should have had big reel-to-reel tape recorders going instead of relying on computers.
It's taken us back.
Proper
quarter-inch tape.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have young members in Shout Out who, when you turn around and go, what's an MP3? You know that's never going to work when you start talking about reel-to-reel things.
I had an MP3 and I used pencils to rewind tapes, so I'm not... ultra young.
Those were the days, wasn't it?
Yeah, I remember that
cutting
well.
And splicing.
Yes. Yeah. Isn't it funny how pencils fitted the hole?
It did. Did you ever
good
do that? You'd be like walking to school or something with your Walkman and the batteries would go flat and your song would start going...
You just had to bang it in the right place. Oh!
Oh, I think I just got another soundbite out of you there.
One for the Christmas tape. Yes.
Do you know the good thing about sat round in kitchen studios and not going out live on an FM station is we're not controlled by Ofcom rules.
No, well, this is podcast only.
Yes.
Yay, so. Let's get pissed.
Oh, dear Lord.
I think Hans is.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
It's Andy's fault.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I bought the bottle in there.
I must say, I do like the idea of having gone back in time because we're all looking that little bit younger.
Yes. You noticed that.
I did notice
that. That's not what Hans did with the app on Terry's face earlier. It made him look older.
I did.
Yeah.
It's quite frightening, actually. That's what I'm going to look like.
Can you give me
hair? Still doing Shout Out in 30 years.
Hey, have you got a switch on that panel so we can go hands-free?
Oh.
What colour is she?
Trying to push me out the back door.
There you go. Hands-free.
What's the matter with your back door?
Anyway, it's time to move on. This is a shortened show, so podcast listeners used to around 40 to 50 odd minutes, depending on the length of the songs. This one's going to be roughly about 30 something. And this is
what,
this
with
is
us two on?
This is where I guess at the beginning you can get it totally wrong, but it's still 40 minutes. So,
just right for your bus journey.
But it is time to head across and catch up with Sasky. Do you remember what she was doing this week?
She was talking to the person organising ClixaCon.
Oh, yeah. So, well, that'd be why it's called ClixaCon Edit then. There we go. Right. So.
Sasky 5.
Hey everyone.
everyone. Welcome to Shout Out Radio, LGBTQ Shout Out, Sasky 7. This week, it is all about film for me, film and TV. So I thought, who better to get on the line than one of the directors of Klexicon? Everyone, please welcome Danielle Jablonski. Danielle, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm really, really good. Obviously, I am a big Klexicon fan, and I need to just get it out there. I'm a Klexicon fan, especially from the first time I met most of your crew, which was from the UK convention. That was last year, which was fabulous. Really enjoyed that. And also, I did a bit of panel moderating as well. So I really, really enjoyed that. What I really loved the most about it, though, was how everyone, like, whether it was, you know, people on the panel or fans, everyone was just in such great spirits and so sort of welcoming of each other. There was no sort of hierarchy of, you know, stars, actors compared to sort of people in attendance. Do you find that's generally the theme with Klexicon?
Absolutely. It's such a wonderful atmosphere. We have so many incredible people come, and while all of our actors aren't necessarily LGBTQ, many of them are, and they just so love being around that space with other LGBTQ women and being able to talk about the importance of queer representation. So it's really such a wonderful, chill atmosphere at every event.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, we know, as I say, visibility, representation is absolutely so important, and especially for the LGBTQ community. What was the kind of the reaction when you first set about, you know, starting Klexicon with your fans?
Oh, we had a massive reaction from year one. Our very first event had over 2,000 people, which is insane for a first year event. The demand was just out there, and it still is. People want to be around other queer people and celebrate queer representation.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think, because obviously we know, even I was just looking on your social media, and it's over 25,000 followers just on Instagram, so we know how sort of massive Klexicon is. Do you think it's starting to have an impact on the TV and film industry in terms of, you know, waking up to see that we really need more representation?
I mean, I'd like to think that it definitely has. I think just showing that that our audience is so big and so passionate, and also the level of guests and content creators. We have producers, directors, executive producers from big-name TV shows and stations who come to the event because they know that our community has a voice and we want to have a voice, and issues are really important.
Yeah, no, definitely. Tell us about Telofilms and your involvement with Telofilms.
Sure. Telofilms is made up of Kristen Baker, who is one of the founders, and Ashley Arnold, who's another Klexicon director as well, and I. And we've just released a feature film called Season of Love. Mm-hmm. And the whole point of Telofilms is to be creating content for queer women. And we also have an SVOD, which is basically a Netflix for queer women.
Wow.
So we're all about creating and distributing queer women's content, because it's not really happening out there in many other ways, and it's usually really hard to have to dig through like a Netflix or Hulu to find the queer content, and ours is all just for queer women. So that's something we're really passionate about.
Oh my gosh, Danielle, that just sounds like my dream. Speaking of Season of Love, I had the pleasure, thanks to you, I'm pleased to say, of being able to introduce it on Sunday at the Prince Charles Cinema, and it was the UK premiere. And I have to tell you that the response was amazing. Everyone really enjoyed it, and so refreshing, not only to have almost an all sort of a lesbian or female cast, but also just that it was actually a really good bloody storyline.
it's our queer Love Actually.
Yes.
So excited. We have an incredible writer. We have an incredible team behind this, and so many queer women star in it or were in the crew. So it really, it's actually an honest queer story. You know, it wasn't made by straight people. It was made by us for our community. So we're super proud of it, and I'm so glad that you liked it.
Oh gosh, yeah, no, and I think that's really important, isn't it? Because it's almost like you know, to have such a queer investment, if you like, in a movie like that, where it's so important about, you know, true representation. I think that really does come across well. So I have to say, hats off to you.
Thank you.
For people listening, tell us a little bit more actually about ClexCon. If someone went to a ClexCon a convention, what can they expect? Who is it for?
It is for anybody who cares about queer characters in TV, film, books, or any other media. So we usually have 3,000 to 4,000 queer people, primarily female identified or non-binary people, at the event. We take over a whole casino, so it's like really this awesome queer bubble space for 4 days. We have panels, workshops, we do burlesque shows, karaoke, we have a full film festival, we have pool parties, nighttime parties. It's basically a full-on entertainment festival specifically for queer women and non-binary people.
Oh my God. See, I thought the movie side of what you was talking about, Danielle, was my dream. You have just now, you've just talked about my whole dream there even more. It just went through the roof. Wow. That is amazing. I'm really excited about that. And I really hope to be in attendance for that. Yes, I know, for the Vegas, because you have the next one coming out in Vegas, right?
Yep, it's our main one is in Vegas. Our London one was just a pop-up. And if you came to the London one, our Vegas one is about 5 times as large as that. So it's on like a much bigger scale.
Oh, my gosh. I tell you what, if I end up there, which I'm definitely put out on my Christmas list, I'm going to feel like something from the L Word, I think. It's going to be like, it is, you know, like those scenes. It just sounds like those amazing sort of, you know, lesbian scenes that you dream of when you're young and not out. And you go, oh, my gosh, and you've just described it for me. So
queer women's utopia. And speaking of, we actually have some of the original cast of the L Word coming. So we have a whole bunch of actors from everybody's favorite TV shows, including the L Word.
Yes.
So it's just such a fantastic opportunity to celebrate queer characters and stories and actually get to meet a lot of the people who brought those stories to life.
Oh my gosh. Well, listen, Danielle, thank you for your time. And now, you know, if we had longer, I would be on this phone to you forever. But the interviews are never as long as I'd like. However, I would like to say, can you just let people know, where can they find or follow ClexCon if they want to get more involved and find out more information?
You can search for ClexCon across all social media platforms. It's ClexaCon, or our website, clexicon.com. And also a quick plug for Tello Films, TelloFilms.com. You can find all information about our streaming platform there, as well as information about how to download and watch Season of Love.
Oh, wow. Well, listen, I'm going to be downloading it over and over and over again. And people, make sure that you do, because it is such a great film. And you don't have to be LGBTQ+ to watch it, but you should just get involved and watch it anyway, any time of the year, even though it is a great festive film. So, Danielle, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate talking to you. And, thank you for coming on my show. Have a great day.
Thank you so much.
Shout out
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
There you go. The lovely Sasuke there.
Yes, indeed. And ClexCon.
ClexCon. Glad you said that, because I was not reading that right on the screen at all.
No.
Not Klaxon, is it?
No, yeah. Klaxicon, and yeah.
I think the glue's failing as well on your top plate, isn't it? It keeps dropping.
What? Oh, right. Okay, sorry. I wouldn't know about those things. Took me a minute to click what you were on about. Click. Obviously, Voice of Experience there. So. Do you want me to take your crisps away if it's interfering? Is it getting underneath yours?
No, in fact, they're lovely crisps. They're ultimate roast potato.
Oh.
Garlic. Onion.
What's an average roast potato? Oh, that's the ultimate roast potato.
Oh, Terry, these are special crisps. They're not ordinary crisps. They are Co-op.
Hand-cooked crisps.
Co-op, yeah. I was brought up on the Co-op.
I was going to say, should the best roast potato be cooked in goose fat, in duck fat, or beef dripping?
Well, that's what my parents used.
No,
unless you've got hands coming to stay, in which case you just can't do that kind of thing.
I had a twitch.
A twitch.
Wouldn't be the first time.
You can't hear it on radio, but it was painful.
I had a clutch earlier. I was clutching myself after Andy swore on the air.
I didn't swear.
He just said he was getting pissed.
He's getting pissed. Are you getting pissed?
No, I'm not getting pissed.
Gosh. Oh, I'm not getting pissed now.
I was just saying, clutching one's pearls.
Oh.
I can see where this is going to go, Ricardo. So I'm going to stop it right there. Time for a shortened version of the news, because obviously the news should have actually been a couple of weeks ago. But there was one piece in it that was quite important that we felt was
well worth
putting in the shortened podcast. Mm-hmm. So we'll hand it over to Hans. Here we go.
On the 24th of October this year, we interviewed Avon and Somerset Police LGBT Liaison Officer Helen Riddell. During the interview, we discussed police body searches and how the police manage the complexities of searching transgender people. Following this interview, there was a complaint made to Avon and Somerset Police and a subsequent Twitter storm ensued. The complaint stated that trans people should be treated as their assigned gender at birth and not as how they identify. Two national print outlets picked the story up, listened to the show, and then contacted AS Police for an interview to state their view on the subject. The police declined and both outlets have now chosen not to proceed with the story. Steffi Barnett met up with Helen Riddell this week and this is what she had to say.
I'm with Helen Riddell at Police HQ Portishead. This is about the complaint, inverted commas, that was sent to the police and the contact they had from a couple of newspapers, actually, The Sun and The Spectator. Helen, can you give me a little bit of the background on the story?
Yeah, certainly. When we were publishing tweets supporting some of the events that were being organised around Trans Day of Remembrance and our involvement in those, we received quite a few messages challenging our stance and questioning the fact that we were supporting trans people, and the complaints were that we were doing that at the expense of other women and other groups. And, you know, this is something that is not true. We represent everybody. The fact that we are encouraging involvement from trans people within our organisation and changing the way our organisation gives people the opportunities to record their identities and record their orientations. It was supposed to be a celebration of that fact, that how policing has moved on and how much more involved we are in all strands of our LGBT plus umbrella. And this clearly has not gone down well with certain people in the community who seem to be opposed to trans people, particularly trans women, being recognised and being able to celebrate those freedoms.
Now, also leading on from that, talking about hate crime, because defamatory remarks on Twitter and the balancing act that the police have to do between free speech and hate crime. There's also something going on there, Helen.
Yes, there is. A retired police officer from the north of England has actually taken the College of Policing to a judicial review. The organisation call themselves Fair Cop, and what's important to know is that the College of Policing is the professional leadership body that gives direction for policing procedures and policies across the whole of the country. So it was the College of Policing that led on the definition of a hate crime and a hate incident, and this particular group of people are seeking to clarify and to challenge the interpretation of hate crimes and hate incidents, I think, on the back of this particular individual being spoken to about a comment that had appeared on his Twitter feed. I don't know whether it was his own comment or whether it was a retweet, but I understand that police officers spoke to this individual and from that has come this judicial review. So we're all very interested to find out exactly what the judge decides.
So that could be a rebalancing of what hate crime means and where you draw the line between free speech and hate crime.
It'll certainly give clarity with the judge's interpretation of the law, and it could lead to some changes in policy, which hopefully will make things easier for officers to interpret and to use the law. But it's certainly a very interesting development.
Okay, thank you, Helen.
Shout out news.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
That was quite interesting, wasn't it? I don't know whether to think it's a good thing or a bad thing that two newspaper outlets, especially the ones that were mentioned, were actually listening to Shout Out.
Well, were they listening to Shout Out, or were they prompted to listen to Shout Out?
They were prompted because Shout Out was mentioned by one of the listeners.
Well, it'd be nice if they listened every week. Hello!
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Hello, Sun readers.
Well, I think in a weird kind of way, it's a kind of accolade, isn't it? If you're being listened to by your opponents.
By the enemy.
It shows that you've actually made it in some respect, doesn't it?
And that is the other one's a right-wing paper, isn't it? Further right-wing than The Sun, isn't it?
The Spectator.
Yeah. No, they haven't started a war with us. Let's not start a war with them by calling them the enemy.
They won't be listening to this.
I think in sort of fairness, we also need to think that actually lots of people may listen to us just because of a single article, because we mentioned something that's of interest them. So we have lots of people that probably listen along just for that one item because it's their thing.
Or drop in and out different weeks, of course.
It's staggering. Some of the things you find out, because obviously we're amateur, we're community, and like, but we know...
Are you an amateur? I'm sat next to an amateur.
I'm going to switch you off in a minute. Whoa.
That reminds me of...
I'm shooketh.
When I first came out, my father said, okay, so you're a homosexual. Are you a practising homosexual? I said, no, I'm quite good, actually.
Well, I mean, do you remember our little advert where there was one show we were really seriously talking about the fact that when you change jobs, for example, you have to come out again? And do you remember your comment with that one?
It's been used in a promotion various times, hasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, he's so gay, he had to come out twice.
Yes.
Thrice and fourths.
So anyway, our feature article in this short podcast.
It was Trans Pride a couple of weeks ago, which will be like this week, because this podcast...
A couple of weeks ago from now, or from
anyway,
when
I'm confused.
Time travel.
Timey-wimey
stuff.
Yeah, this getting in the DeLorean is confusing.
If you're listening to the podcast in order, it was last week.
It was, yes. So went to Trans Pride and interviewed a bunch of people, and really, really interesting as well. And this is the result.
Well, Shoutout's arrived at Trans Pride Southwest for 2019 and bumped into Hugo, and they got something absolutely, really special and fantastic coming up. Hugo, tell me all about it.
So what we're planning to set up in Bristol mainly is an organisation called Talk to the Rainbow. So I'm a therapist, and what I've decided to do with a trans colleague of mine is bring together a group of LGBTQ plus therapists to provide therapeutic space, safe spaces for the community, because we know that the community really struggles to find psychotherapists or counsellors that they know and trust are safe to talk to and that they can identify with. So the idea behind Talk to the Rainbow is to bring a group of really highly skilled professionals that are either part of the community or proven allies to deliver a service to the community in knowledge that whoever approaches us is guaranteed to find a safe practitioner that they can trust and feel kind of in a non-judgmental environment with.
Now, what you've been saying is that it's very difficult for people to find a programme like this running in the Bristol area for the South West, and people have to travel to London. So this is great news for the LGBTQ community.
Well, we hope to provide that service because I know personally of people that do travel to London on a weekly basis to find a therapist that they know that they can trust, that they identify with, that have shared a common history with, or that have some understanding of the community. My colleague is trans. She's one of the only trans therapists in the Southwest. You know, there's a real need for this in the community, and the community is facing such a mental health crisis that we really, you know, we owe it to the community to do something about it. And what we found is from talking to people in the community is they find it really difficult to talk to a counsellor that hasn't had some kind of a shared experience with them. So that's what we aim to set up with Talk to the Rainbow. It's a one-stop shop where someone is guaranteed to see a therapist that has been carefully vetted, has been safe and non-judgmental when it comes to the LGBTQ plus community.
This is a shout out at Trans Pride Southwest, and we've come across a stand called Flag that starts with two F's. Bruce, tell me about Flag.
Hello, yeah. Flag is a national charity. We have a group that meets in Bristol here. Originally, the name stood for Families and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, but now we get, to be honest, as many parents of trans youngsters as LGBT put together, so we've expanded.
So you need a T on the end, so it should be flagged.
Yes, it should be, yeah. But that will be so confusing. We're not changing our name, but we're dropping the strap line, so we just flag, and okay. We're known as Flag. And we're there really to help people who are in distress for whatever reason. They're worried about their youngsters, or the youngsters themselves are worried, and we want to try and help them out. Basically, we're parents.
Okay. Now, you've said you've got an office in Bristol, but you are national, and you cover the South West and South Wales?
Yes. Yeah, there's a branch in Cardiff as well, and we've got trustees around the country, but a few we're quite well covered in the Bristol area.
Okay. If people want to get in touch with you, what's your website address?
It's Flag. Just FFLAG.
Okay, so
you Google that and you'll get us. We'll be the first thing that comes up.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, very welcome.
Now, it is very rare for either Christian groups or Islamic groups to actually be out there facing the public as being LGBTQ. But there's one organisation. Now, is it pronounced Hidayah?
Hidayah.
Hidayah.
Yeah.
Right, sorry. Tell us about your organisation.
So Hidayah has been around for a few years now. And we basically are a faith-led organisation helping the Muslim LGBTQI plus community around the country.
And how difficult do you find it actually squaring off your religion?
Are you talking about in terms of reconciliation?
Yes, and viewpoints from others within your religion, because when we've spoken to Christians like the Catholic Church or CFE, there's a lot of issues, but they still maintain their faith even though they're queer and get a lot of hits. Do you find that there is a lot of prejudice within your religion?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, there are two folds here. There's the LGBTQI plus community who are struggling to reconcile their sexuality, gender plus religion. And then we've got the added layer of religious organisations or, you know, the faith-led organisations in the UK that are Muslim predominantly are very inaccessible to us. So far, I mean, we are championing it and moving forward and trying to.
It's very brave of people, I think, of faith, whatever faith that is, to actually put your head above the parapet.
Yeah, it is a very big challenge for us, but we are here and we're not going away. So, you know, it is breaking down those barriers and trying to get the education out there. And Hidayah is working really hard at the moment and working with loads of education institutions around the country. Wish around the world.
I'm sure there are organisations around the world, but
yes,
probably not out as much as you are.
Yeah, so we're working with loads of education institutions to help them understand what, you know, faith means to us, and, you know, how we reconcile, etc., and also trying to break down the barriers in order to get religious or community leaders to understand and educate themselves on our community.
Obviously, there's two major books around the world that deal with religion, the Bible and the Quran. Do people throw words from the Quran at you?
Yeah, absolutely, all the time. I mean, that is the way that they can feel secure in propagating what they believe. So, religious texts. And
do you find that you can actually use that same book back at them?
Absolutely, yeah. So check out our website. Really good blog posts recently about how kind of holy texts are interpreted, not only from our point of view, but from people that we've been in contact with that are more religiously inclined to interpret. So it's been a very interesting kind of year discovering all of that, and I'm sure there's going to be more coming forward.
Thank you very much, and we really need to get you on the show live. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
And the trans pride back next year, I assume?
And this year was the first time they did a march from Amazing. College Green, so hopefully the march will be bigger and better.
It was lovely. I saw photos on Facebook because Darren and his other half who run the main pride were out there marshalling.
The nice thing about trans pride, it gives supporters and allies a chance to show that support and that they're allies. So it's not just about trans people arriving and saying I'm trans. It's so important that society at large supports the trans community, because they're way behind the lesbian, gay and bi people by maybe 20 years.
Don't forget the ones with pans on their heads.
Only the ones that are big enough to fit, Andy.
I have one that will fit you, don't worry.
I think you're right. I mean, back to seriousness. I do... It strikes me as very odd sometimes when other sections within the LGBTQ communities pick on trans people, which has happened, obviously, as we know in the last year, and some of the comments that have been made online and things like that. I just don't understand it. I mean...
It's like to get involved with other people's lives. They won't mind their own business.
That discussion we had about Jesse from Little Mix a couple of months ago on the News Extra. That. And, you know, why do people feel the need to comment on her body size? I think she's beautiful anyway.
She is beautiful.
But well, she's very thin now. And that,
but that's irrelevant.
No, what I mean is that's in direct correlation to the abuse that she's received online.
Yeah. So that's given her mental illness, and she struggled. That's not right. Just because there's people out there with big gobs who can't keep it
that's
shut.
Right. Mm.
Well, that's true.
When I was growing up, it was LGBT.
We are terrible. I mean, we are a species that likes to find a minority and pick on them to try and make ourselves feel better.
Yeah.
It's arguably even sort of hardwired into us, isn't it? The need to love and hate. I mean, there's been books written on the subject, haven't there, by evolutionary biologists and so on.
That's right.
Well, it leads us very nicely into our final feature of this podcast, and that is coping at Christmas, which actually is something if my memory serves me correct, we try and cover most years, don't we?
We do,
because Christmas is a lovely time of year. I mean, we're sat here and there's a lovely Christmas tree behind us and there's presents underneath it. Sorry, none for any of you. I got you snacks instead. It's and bought you Prosecco. It's a but of course Christmas can also be a really lonely time for some people who perhaps may have lost family or are distanced from their family, whether it be because of their sexuality or their gender or whatever it may be. And it can be quite difficult when there's so many people around you celebrating and
absolutely
you're not able to. And we try and because a lot of us here at Shout Out have had things like mental health issues over the years. It can affect almost anyone. One of the things that we've often tried to talk about, Terry, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is how you can cope if you're having issues in the festive season when it's supposed to be a time of fun and perhaps you're not. So where do you fancy starting?
Well, this year, I mean, we've done interviews with people about coping at Christmas and so on. And last year we had somebody talking about various services that were open. But this year, me and Hans are going to read through a number of pointers that we found that might help people cope at Christmas, whether they're LGBTQ or not,
cool,
and whatever their issue is with Christmas, and something perhaps will come up, which we can all relate to, because I think all of us at some point want to escape from Christmas. So we all like a traditional image on a Christmas card, but the Victorian themed pictures of travelling home through a winter wonderland to a large family gathering were never reflective of reality. Just remember that they are a fantasy. They weren't true in the 1850s and are certainly not true today. I like a snowy village scene as much as the next person on my cards, but it's just not reality.
No, and they've actually done studies into that, haven't they? Because a lot of it comes from is it Dickens?
Yeah, Dickens.
Who wrote
Oliver.
A Christmas Carol.
Well, Christmas Carol, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and that.
But at the time when he wrote it, there was more harsh winters than we normally have.
Mm-hmm. That's
and,
right.
And they did have snow at Christmas back then. So he wrote it into his stories. But of course, because the stories became so famous, we now associate Christmas with snow and the like. But it's not actually the norm for the UK.
Absolutely, and the 19th century Victorians did reinvent Christmas and give us the type of Christmas that we see on our cards today.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't like that in the Middle Ages. Hans, next point.
Sometimes parts of the media can be complicit in sending these false images of Christmas. The advertisements that run on commercial television at this time of year can also reinforce the idea that we all need to be home for the holidays. Again, they are a fantasy, unrealistic, and do not reflect how millions of us will be spending the festive season.
So I suggest that we all need to give ourselves permission to spend Christmas our way. It is absolutely fine to have a quiet and peaceful break. In my house, we're just having a little wine and food, but just the three of us playing a couple of board games. We don't do big Christmases. Matthew?
I was just going to say, imagine if everybody didn't feel the pressure to travel, just how quiet and sensible the roads would be.
That's very true.
Yes. But I'm totally with you, because I'm going to hold my hands up. I do feel under an incredible amount of pressure to travel, and I don't always want to travel. And a couple of years ago, I just took myself off to the Mendips with a friend, and we had turkey sandwiches on top of it was blowing a hooli, it was wet, and we had a great time. And that was on Christmas Day.
Yeah, I have a friend who is quite distant from his parents, who doesn't get on with them at all. Him and another mate of his, whose nickname is Fish, have what they call Fishmas. And they get together at friends. So, now, what I don't want to do is like make it such that those that do things like travel and the like, because it is a good time for family as
and
well.
It's a very and important it's, time for many families as well.
But this is all about the things you can do to cope if you can't do
this
that.
This is just
kind of
some
thing, so.
Reflections on Christmas to make people understand that it's all about what you want to do. It's your time.
Turkey sandwiches sound lovely.
They do, especially on top of the Mendips.
I could only just cope with the normal turkey. It's the leftovers. I'm like, Mum, Dad, you can take that home with you.
Well, this next bit follows on really well from what Matthew was saying. One of my colleagues tells me that she'll be spending Christmas Eve resting, a quiet glass of non-alcoholic grape juice, and reading in bed. On Christmas Day, she will go for a walk with a friend and then take some pictures for her photo blog before returning home and having an early night. She finds that getting a good sleep is essential for her mental health.
Well, it is, isn't it?
Good
sleep is good for a lot of things.
There is absolutely no shame in just battening down the hatches and watching television for a few days. Millions of people will be doing this. You can be creative and spend Christmas your way. Perhaps you can cook yourself a meal or pour a glass whilst enjoying the festive entertainment on the television.
Yay, RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes!
Sashay away.
Okay.
Shantae, you stay, Andy.
Or, of course...
Oh, thank you.
There is absolutely nothing wrong in saying, I don't want to do this, and opting out from Christmas. You are not alone. I have many friends who treat Christmas Day and Boxing Day as an excuse to spend themselves with no reference to season at all. One gay writer told an LGBTQ magazine that we went to Japan for the whole of December to escape Christmas. You don't need to be so dramatic. Yes, there will be a lot of crimbo stuff on TV, but we live in an age of multiple digital platforms, on-demand services and internet streaming, and it is perfectly possible to find radio, TV and streaming that is festivity-free.
Some people will find the days when lots of services close down and shops are closed to be difficult in terms of their mental health. If you think you're going to be affected, then perhaps you can put into place some contingency plans. For example, if you are an older person, then the West Country-based Marmalade Trust offers a Christmas Day meal with other people at a local community centre. The Marmalade Trust, which takes its name from Panton Bear's favourite food... Oh. That's lovely, isn't it? Has been featured in ITV, Radio 4, Radio 5, on the BBC News Channel and the Guardian newspaper for the amazing work it does. They say, we don't want anyone to spend Christmas Day alone if they don't want to, so we invite them to join us for a free festive lunch. A typical member is someone who is vulnerable to loneliness, for example, a person of older age, or who may have few or no family or friends around.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice, especially if you still want to kind of be a bit festive and like go celebrate with other people.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm.
And I support gentlemen, as I was talking about in previous shows, with mental health difficulties. Yeah. You face a lot of challenges with isolation. And a couple of the men that I've been supporting this year have talked openly about finding Christmas extremely difficult. So what they do is they work with homeless charities and they provide the Christmas lunches for other people who are struggling.
Yeah, and I think Caring at Christmas will be open here in Bristol, which is open, I think, from Christmas Eve to New Year's Day for people affected by homelessness,
which is massively run by volunteers, and a lot of those people are people that have been in the same or are still in the same situation.
Some gay venues in some cities will be available over the Christmas period. Indeed, I had the pleasure of working at the Old Griffin at 41 Colston Street when it was still a gay venue many, many years ago. And we opened on Christmas Day and Boxing Day for a few hours for festive fun and cheer. If you think that a trip out might be what you need on Christmas Day, then perhaps plan and see if any LGBTQ or indeed general venues might be open.
I'm sure they will. I mean, it's Bristol. Indeed. It's a big, big... place,
and certainly in London, if you're in one of the larger cities, there'll be something. You go and have a pint. Or cola.
Yes, a pint or something of cola. Strong.
Steph, next one.
The National LGBT Switchboard is now marking 45 years since it opened as the Gay Switchboard in 1974 in the basement of Housman's, a radical bookstore in King's Cross. They will be open on Christmas Day and Boxing Day between 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. Call 0300 330 0630. If you need listings, information, or just a friendly voice to chat to, then give them a ring.
Finally, one that's a little bit alien to me, because the only exercise I usually do at Christmas is ripping off the wrapping paper or lifting a glass or something. But exercise can be a benefit for many people, like my colleague. Even just getting out and walking around on Christmas Day can be of value. Gets you out of the house and that kind of thing. And it's usually nice crisp air as well, isn't it? If you prefer an activity done with other people, then there are the Gay Outdoor Club, which can possibly help. The organisation has a calendar event throughout December across the United Kingdom. They do a retreat for Christmas at the youth hostel in Derbyshire, which is full this year, unfortunately. But you can still put your name down and you can reserve places possibly for next year. So
we do have a couple of finalies. Hans, do you want to do the next one?
I didn't realise there was another page. I do apologise.
It's paper, not on screen. Know, that's why. It's old-fashioned tech.
Turn the page. Do you have access to the internet? If so, then perhaps talking to people online will be enough. There are websites for all manners of LGBTQ or general taste, whether you're into leather or want to chat to bi women. Just be aware that many sites are more geared for hookups rather than friendship. Be discerning. You might try an organisation which is specifically friendship and companionship focused. For gay women, there is Pink Herrings in Bristol, for example, or there is an offshoot of the magazine Boys, a website called bboys.com. They say bboys is a unique and innovative way to meet new LGBT plus friends who share your hobbies, sports, pastimes. Bboys welcomes people of all genders and sexualities. Can I just say at the end there, sorry Terry, there's also Her, which is a new app and website for women and non-binary people to make friends.
That's absolutely fantastic. And lastly, a lot of people find that they struggle with budgeting at this time of year. That's a major source of stress.
It is, yeah.
With austerity still biting, economic uncertainty and bills to be paid, how do you keep your commitments and afford Christmas? Well, debt is a major source of stress. If you think this might affect you, then check out a blog post that I've prepared for the mental health charity Second Step. This is now up online and gives inspirational ideas on how to financially deal with Christmas so that your finances don't run away with you. Check out second-step.co.uk.
Yeah, cool. I mean, it's worth pointing out that, you know, if you are not able to give the kind of presents that your friends give, if your friends or family are understanding, it's more about the gesture than anything else.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you don't have to spend a fortune to prove to somebody that you've given them a nice present. And everybody's been in a state in life where they can't afford those big expensive things, you know. Don't feel you have to. I think
it's avoiding falling into the trap of being materialistic in a way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, Matthew. Christmas is much more than that. Yeah.
And also, I think when you talk to your family and friends about that, if you are struggling and suggesting that you'd like to make them something, that the personable touch is quite precious.
Absolutely. Yeah. My thing is, you know, I say to everyone, all your presents are coming from charity shops, and I get brilliant stuff from charity shops and enjoy looking for it for just a couple of quid. It's fantastic.
Yeah. My mum's a great fan of a charity shop.
Yeah.
She loves it, yeah. Can I just say that a present from Shout Out to the people of Bristol and way beyond is going to be a 5-hour New Year show where Terry and I will be sitting and holding your hand. So if you are alone, you don't need to be alone, because Terry and I will be there.
Yeah.
BCFM and various other stations.
I think we're on Base Radio in South Bristol. I think we're on Wave, WSM.
Bradley Stoke.
Radio Bradley Stoke on 103.4.
So we're on multiple platforms, but we will be with you. You don't need to be alone.
We'll be playing some.
And me, right? And me. We should be raising a quiet glass to the new year, because that's the best way.
And not so quiet tunes, because the tunes are
there. Are going to be some really good party tunes as well.
Yeah, we'll be partying with you.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And always remember that your community radio is here for you. The LGBT media. Check out friendship sites that we pointed out.
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of people, especially those that are struggling a bit at Christmas, tend to relate it to things like the more modern interpretation of it, like being a big Christian festival and the like. But of course, a lot of the things around Christmas predate Christianity. For example, the reason we have a tree is because in Nordic countries they worship the spirit of the tree.
It's pagan thing.
It's nothing to do with Christianity.
And we believe, archaeologists believe that the winter solstice festival has been marked for thousands upon thousands of years, possibly long before the rise of agriculture. So the ancient Egyptians, the Romans, the Greeks, they were all at it.
I've already given away the answer to this a few years on Shout Out, but I wonder if any of you remember. Do you know why we hang baubles on Christmas trees?
Ooh. Is it to ward off evil spirits?
No.
Is it so you, because it's dark, isn't it, and you don't want to bump into the spiky bits of the balls there?
Like bumpers.
The lights on Christmas trees are because they're genuinely used to put candles on Christmas trees, and it was far too dangerous, so when electricity was invented, we moved across that. But baubles actually dates from the glassblowers. In the UK as well, I believe, and countries across Europe, glassblowers would, at Christmas, as you would expect, get far too drunk. Please drink responsibility. At Christmas, but they would get far too drunk, and they would have competitions to see who could blow the biggest glass ball.
Wow.
And the wives thought it looked so nice, they would hang them on the Christmas tree as decorations, and that was where
that's brilliant.
That's genuinely where the whole idea came from.
Do this,
you'd like to do an after dark version. Yeah, you can be a bit more.
It would have to be with balloons, I think. Who can blow the biggest balloons?
But that does make sense, because I remember my nana had actual glass baubles on her Christmas tree, and they were very fragile, and me being a child thought, oh, I wonder how squishy it is, and of course the thing just shattered. Oh, they got glass everywhere.
They were very thin glass.
Yeah, very very thin, very delicate.
I won't lie, actually, on the Christmas tree behind you we do have glass ornaments, and what we were quite surprised about is they're they're diamond shaped if you're looking really carefully.
Yes, I can
but
see.
They're really thick glass, so that if they fall off they don't smash. But
I
do remember the ones when I was a kid that were like super thin, and you'd smash them and they were so sharp.
I remember that when I was a child. But of course I was a child before the birth of Jesus, of course, so I was brought up with pagan Christmas.
Do you know what went through my mind when you said on the tree behind you 100,000 listeners turning behind them?
Sorry, I'm on about here.
it's a
kitchen studio.
How do they know what I've got on my tree?
Wow. That is a good question, actually. How does one know what everyone else has on their trees apart from the photos that they see?
Well, that's what Facebook was or social media, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Which was another point I was going to make, because we were talking about all the groups. Of course, Facebook may be huge and some people absolutely hate it, but there are a lot of support groups on there as well, including around Christmas time. So, if you're looking for something that's easy to access, that is kind of fairly safe, fairly regulated, that you may be able to find some support whereas Facebook is also another good source.
And that's one of the things I was trying to point out, is that we have multiple streaming platforms these days. If you want to escape Christmas, yeah, just go on YouTube and watch something else. You know what I mean? You can avoid it. You know, it's not like the old, when there was just three channels, on the television and it was all Christmas.
YouTube is wonderful.
You know, we were talking about spending money on Christmas presents. And now, next week, we've got Cameron of Prowler coming.
We have.
And we're going to be talking about what content we put in the starter kits.
Yes.
But for those people, you can go around charity shops, and if you feel that a good present, maybe you're questioning your friend, he might be a little bit camp, and you think he might...
There's nothing wrong being camp.
I never said there was.
No.
But if you think a friend might be slightly gay or want to learn how to be gay, and they're so
sell your starter packs.
So you could put anything in a box, pack it up, and just put gay starter kit and give it to your best friend.
See, Hans has tried yours out. We've seen what happened.
She's already gayer than springtime.
When I met you, I was a heterosexual, and now look, Lord.
Steffi, that's a good thing about charity.
Into dinosaurs and tentacle porn when we first met you. Yes.
Dinosaur erotica.
Do you have to bring that up on air?
Yeah.
Outed her again.
Now you're a bit more pan, but you just need to take it off your head, you know.
I was going to say about charity shops, Steffi. I found a lovely pair of leather motorcycle trousers.
Oh, you
didn't
remember you telling me. You were so excited.
I was very excited. They only cost me £12, so you never know what you're going to find in a charity shop.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely good stuff.
But what? A cheap second-hand game magazine would go in the box, wouldn't it?
I used to
if
work...
you iron it first, obviously, to make it...
I used to, from experience,
just so the listeners are aware, one must lay a towel first over the magazine, otherwise it will stick to the iron, and then everyone will know what you're reading.
And we missed a step, because maybe the pages might be a bit sort of...
Yeah,
we're not going there.
To wipe with a disinfectant wipe before you put it in the box. That's all I'm saying.
I worked with a guy once who had managed a charity shop, British Heart Foundation, I think it was, down on the South Coast, and they had a donation, a box full of pornographic magazines, including gay pornographic magazines. He said, well, we can't really sell those, but he thought we could have made quite a lot of money.
Yeah. You would be surprised, there are people who collect very classic sort of gay magazines or classic literature, because things like the old men's health magazines,
Physique Pictorial, things like that,
from the 1930s and 1940s, that were obviously Joe and his friend doing their exercises or sort of doing rather posing images with the
loincloths or something.
And that was sort of early days of erotic photographs
for gay men, particularly. Yeah, and I think those things are highly collectible.
My only tip is, if you have a tablet and you pair it to your Amazon Echo in the kitchen, make sure you unpair it before you take it to bed to watch certain things, or your husband might hear things coming out of the kitchen.
Gosh, you've just reminded me. Have I got time to tell a quick anecdote?
Yeah.
A national radio station, I won't mention which.
I know exactly what you're going to talk about.
They had an intern, a student, who late one Saturday night thought, oh, look, there's a PC there. I'll just log on to it and look at something a bit naughty. And was watching some gay pornography, Falcon Studios or one of those studios or something like that, and lots of grunting noises. He didn't realise that the computer was actually the server which sent the audio from the radio station to the transmitter. And so the audio of the radio station, the music, was mixed with sounds of men enjoying themselves. And that went out for about 30 minutes, I believe.
30 minutes? Yeah.
At least that's kind of like an accident in technology, because Radio 4 were doing, I think it was Radio 4, they were doing a show about home furnishings and stuff. Ooh, yes. and picking colours, and someone sent in a letter saying, well, I've hung a lovely pair of beef curtains, and the conversation that ensued was the most innocent conversation ever, live on air, not realising what it was they were actually talking about, couldn't say if we weren't just... I wouldn't even be able to say beef curtains if we weren't on a podcast, but...
the unregulated internet, we have that freedom.
So hang on a minute, you'll have to tell the uninitiated
we'll
gay men circuitry.
No, it's nothing to do with gay men.
This was beef curtains.
This was a totally straight thing. It was nothing to do. Well, beef
curtains are straight. They're certainly not vegan.
Beef curtains are.
No, they are vegan.
Yeah. Oh, beef curtains are.
Oh, come on, don't be so naive.
Have a serious last steps. When I worked in a job that's not the job I do now, somebody actually used that as an insult against me. They said I would.
Against you?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Yes, it's
just in a very funny way. They said something like, I wish I could shut. Something about shutting something as quicker than they could shut the beef curtains, which was a very backhanded insult. But
sorry, somebody's just Andy to my right has just drawn me a picture. I am now up to speed.
And I know drawn you a picture.
Yes,
on an etch-a-sketch. That's so quick, honestly, Andy. So retro.
Honestly, if you Google Radio 4 and beef cuts, you can hear it. But okay. I mean, advise you don't in polite company.
Thank you, Andy. The labia bit was good.
Whoa! I was going to say it's not something I have any experience of. One has to say before we go any further that conversation.
Yeah, clear your etch-a-sketch. Yes.
So you are a sort of platinum gay?
Yes.
Ah.
Ooh.
That's another story.
Oh, it is.
Anyway, I started off saying that we were only going to be about half an hour, but we've been like nearly 50 minutes. So, but that's it for this turn. Time really is up.
It is up. Shout out is broadcast and recorded at BCFM Studios, Bristol, directed by Andy Shilton, executive producer, me, news editor Terry Starr, researcher Hans Peregrine, and producer Andy Hull.
Previous podcasts can be heard at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Thanks for listening.
From myself and the rest of the team, until next time, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.